Hey everybody, welcome to this live Jamie Dunn Show here on 1-2 Radio. I am excited to be live with you today. And there was hope then discussion and possibly snafu now that Oliver was going to be joining me, but we can't seem to find him. I'm sure he's off chasing some rainbows and unicorns somewhere, knowing him, and he's going to bring back all kinds of fun stories and wisdom and who knows what else. And you, of course, can always listen to him here on 1-2 Radio on the Oliver Show on Wednesdays. But in the meantime, while we are trying to chase down that pixie-dusted man, it's me. And I'm so excited to be here live with you because we've got a lot going on and we're going to talk about it. But before we do, please take a moment to sign up for promotions and be in the know and the newsletter and all that at 1-2Listen, which is where you will find me just about every day. Weekends are sparse just because, as you guys know, I am a ski bunny. I love being out on the slopes, and and I'm also trying to practice what I preach about work-life balance so that I give myself permission to play a little bit. So usually Saturday, Sunday mornings, I'm on the hill, on the mountain. And yeah, there's one slope open, just so you know. We've been skiing for 5 days now on the same run. But hey, I'm not complaining because I love being outside. I love the snow. I love practicing making turns and being out there. So I'm super grateful. Speaking of gratitude, next week is Thanksgiving here in the U.S. But as we know, I'm one of those people who do not like to have just one day set aside to say thank you. So let me just communicate so clearly. I hope that it translates through my words and the vibration of my words that says, I am so grateful and appreciative of each and every one of you. If it's your first time listening, welcome. If it's your first time connecting with me, thank you. I hope that you can leave this time together better than when you started. And as I like to do at the beginning of my shows when I'm doing them live or pre-record, is I want to just allow us to have a moment to get into our heart space. And it's as simple as a breath. I was talking to someone this morning, coaching them on their daily practices and holding their feet to the fire. And you know, I said, how's the meditation practice going? And they said, oh, it's not so great. I don't know how much I can commit to doing this week. And I said, well, what do you think you need? Well, normally it's a good 20, 30 minutes. And I said, actually, we can meditate. The whole purpose behind meditation is to, one, calm the parasympathetic nerve, two, access the subconscious, and three, to bring in a sense of wholeness and groundedness in present moment. And that we can access with just a breath. We don't have to carve out 20 to 30 minutes. Now, there are obvious benefits to longer time in meditation, but I don't want to have anyone be discouraged or think that you can't meditate with just a breath. And so this is where we can get into our heart space and we can get grounded with only a breath. So right now, just notice in your body, notice the breath. Does it get stuck somewhere when you're inhaling or exhaling? Is there tension in the body? Just notice. Is your mind scattered and going everywhere? Maybe you've had a very harried morning already and it just seems like nothing is going right. You're dropping shit and people are getting in your crawl and you're annoyed. And just take a breath now. Again, just a moment. Relaxing in on the inhale, letting go. Grace and grief on that exhale. And just feeling, remember that where attention goes, energy flows. So noticing where your attention is, put it back on the breath if it went anywhere else, because there's nowhere to go, nothing to do right now. And just breathe in through the heart, down through the feet, feeling Mother Earth. And just connect for this moment. And maybe this is an opportunity to reset for the day, to reset for the moment. Allow yourself that time to just be here and maybe dedicate this moment and whatever comes out of the next moments, dedicate it in some way to be of benefit. Because really, I believe that's why we're here, is to be useful, to be of benefit to our fellow nature, our fellow humans, everything that we're doing. So, how does that feel? Yeah? I mean, I can only speak for myself, obviously, because it's my experience within myself, but I'm already feeling a little bit lighter, a little bit more grounded. Yeah. And it's from the space that I also want to invite your questions and comments in the chat room. And as you know, I have a terrible time multitasking between the chat room and staying on task with what's relevant and helpful for the show. But I'm going to do my best. So if you do have a question or you want a reading, I'm going to see if I can get to that today and just sit with you. But like I mentioned, we've got a lot going on. You know, there's a lot of heavy energy. And without going into the who voted for who and whatnot, we have an outcome here in the U.S. that has left a lot of people that I've talked to either celebrating or grieving. And there's such a contrast between the two. And then we have our own personal stuff going on, you know, whether it's a feeling of loneliness or a feeling of agitation and anger about anything and everything, or there's this feeling of hopelessness that also can settle in. And I've talked to a few people that are feeling a little hopeless, you know. Also, I'm going to speak directly to how often the conversations have lent itself, especially in the metaphysical spiritual realm, of how they feel the universe is basically teasing them. You know, we ask for signs and messages, and I firmly believe this. I remember years, 25 years ago, when I started doing intuitive work as a profession and, you know, building that muscle by looking for signs, asking for signs, listening deeply for messages, then needing the external validation. Those signs and messages were there to validate on the external what I was sensing on the internal, right? Or these images I might be seeing. And so I needed that in order to really trust myself, in order to really trust the information that was given to me. And yet here, certain manifestations may not have shown up in my life. I had a longing, I had a wanting, right? For I desired something, but I couldn't seem to manifest it exactly the way I wanted it. And so that would get discouraging. And yes, like you, I would feel as though the universe was teasing me a little bit, right? And what I've learned from my own personal experiences is really falling into the arms of grace and recognizing and allowing the great mystery to also be there, the unknown, that I place the desire and I focus on what it is I'm trying to manifest, but I have no control over certain things. That's the mystery. The things that I have no control over, the actions I cannot take, I can't force someone to think, feel, act, want something that I want. I can't go out and just make something happen per se. You know, let's just say I want $1 million, right? Well, I can't just wake up in the morning and $1 million is in my bank account. I mean, granted, I don't want to limit the universe, right? And please, I'll take it. But that's not what I have no control, let's say, over that. But what I do have control over is my relationship, not nurturing and fostering my relationship to this thing called money. And then the same thing when it comes to romantic relationships, right? I can want one all day long, but if I'm not putting myself out there, if I'm not nurturing myself and being the best version of myself and allowing myself to resonate with others who don't necessarily have to be like-minded, but at least like-hearted. If I'm not willing to go out and invite that energy in, then there's an unknown factor there. Then it's just a matter of allowing the universe to bring the opportunities and paying attention to them. And so this is what we're working with. And I think the feeling of hopelessness often comes in because we're not getting that external validation. We're not getting the manifestations that we want. And so the invitation, at least again, from my perspective, is that we continue to practice this thing called kenosis, which masters from all over ancient tradition taught and continue to remind us of. Is the kenosis is in the open, the emptying, the letting go and allowing. And it is not an easy process because our ego, our physicality want something so much. And artists know this, those who creatives know this. As human beings, we have to have desire in order to create. And then I just want to remind us, and I know I'm totally on my own tangent right now, and I'll get back to some other structure in the show, but I just feel like this is so important. I want to remind us how beautifully magical and divine it is that we chose to be in this human form. I know, believe me, I know there are days and moments and weeks and months where it sucks. And I'm not going to pretend that the hardships aren't real, the struggles aren't real, because they are. And when they seem so heavy and they seem so constant, it is easy to give up. It's easy to curse being human. It's easy to say, why the fuck did I come into this body and ask for this kind of bullshit? I get it. Believe me, I'm there at times. And yet, you think about what courage and strength and the resilience and the wisdom that it took for us to incarnate. Because my belief is that consciousness is constantly trying to evolve, and it evolves through me. That's why I push for evolution. That's why I push for breaking out of our comfort zones, doing things differently. And guess what? Yeah, that means we invite pain. We're not chasing. I'm not saying go look for pain, but what I am saying is break out of the comfort zone, because what we are doing now isn't working. So we must evolve in order to inform consciousness so that consciousness can evolve. No matter how you feel about what's happening in the US right now, politically, I personally cannot march up to Washington and say, this is what I want to happen, make it so. But what I can do is I can be in my body, in my local community, treating my fellow human the way I would want to be treated, the way that evolution requires me in order to evolve consciousness. Now I can influence the bigger picture. So that's what I'm working with. And that's what the invitation is for all of us. Work with what we have. That's what we can influence. And I just want to reiterate what a magical, divine, incredible choice we made to incarnate, to be divinized matter. That's what we are. So if you can just hear my voice for a second, listen to my words for one moment. If it resonates, you'll feel it in your body. If it doesn't, turn off the show, walk away, flip me off, whatever you need to do. But I just want you to know how proud you should be of yourself, that it isn't hopeless to continue to live life and to be a part of this evolution of consciousness. Because everything we're doing matters. Everything we're doing informs this evolution. And so now, then, the invitation is that we practice. We practice our tools, tools like forgiveness, tools like opening and emptying and being resistant free. Doesn't mean we won't have preference, it just means we're not resisting, we're not struggling. Having practice to surrender, practices to stay grounded, practices to use our intuition for good. Okay, that's my soapbox for the moment. Mercury is in Sagittarius, so I have a right. I have a right anyways, because it is my show and it's my opinion. And I hope that you guys use your voice too. You know, one of the things that really pissed me off yesterday, one, my 49ers lost. They sucked. But I still support them. As I reminded my beloved, just because they're not playing well doesn't mean I'm going to abandon them. I can get mad, but I'm not going to abandon them. So that's one thing. But the other thing was, there's a family group chat that I'm in, and I put out there, you know, that football is such a brutal sport. I mean, there's injuries all the time, and you know, and my team in particular is suffering from injuries, and it affects the game and that sort of thing. And I put it out there, and one of the family members responded and said, "No, rugby is a brutal sport." Now, I didn't respond because at that moment, whatever was going to come out of my mouth was not evolved. What I didn't appreciate was that my view was invalid by their statement. I mean, it wasn't because I still have my view, but that it was almost like they were trying to one-up me or invalidate what my opinion was, my truth was. And now I don't take it personally. I'm not upset with them per se, because they're just showing me where their mindset is. But I want to point that out because we do that to each other so often. We one up them, you know, another, because we've been conditioned, especially with women these days, we've been conditioned to compete with one another. This isn't a competition. This is who you are, this is who I am, this is your view, this is my view. I can hold that in equanimity, you know. Why am I sharing that? Well, because I want you to know we're all in the soup cooking together. I had to practice some self-forgiveness because my thoughts and feelings at that moment were to get my claws out and start ripping some eyes out. So I paused and grounded and I let it go. But the deeper thing is that I could also use my voice and say something about how I felt invalidated. And why would I do that? Because I care about the relationship. And I want this individual to know that in order to be in a healthy relationship with me, there needs to be mutual give and take. There needs to be an understanding that it's not okay for you to invalidate me. It's okay for you to have your opinion, but it's not okay to invalidate mine. So we'll sit with that one. The other reason I'm bringing this up, and I mentioned Mercury and Sagittarius, is Mercury is going retrograde. Oh, yes, on November 25th. So that means, what does that mean on the 18th of November? It means that we are in shadow, Mercury in shadow. So we're already starting to get a little inkling of things that are happening. Remember, Mercury rules the mind, information, transportation. It's really how things get moved, right? It's that mental wind, if you will, working with the elements, the air. And we use it with transportation because it's fast. Mercury is the messenger god. It gets from point A to point B. Well, when Mercury is in Sagittarius, right? Sagittarius is optimistic and fun-loving, but anybody who knows Sagittarius with a pretty heavy emphasis on the Sag, they're also very abrupt, very dramatic in their speaking, very optimistic, yes, but opinionated. There's that dogma that can often show up and come across so strongly, right? Well, things like this are occurring now where conversations are happening that seem very directed or abrupt, or it's just like, hey, it's the truth. And remember, we know this about the truth. We call it a double-edged sword, very appropriate. I think that's the symbol in my mind when I think of Mercury and Sagittarius. It is the double-edged sword where truth can either cut through and create cut through the illusion, if you will, or that truth can really hurt because some things we don't really need to say, you know? I think that's the thing, that's the discernment that comes in with this time that we're in right now. We really need to discern just because it shows up as a truth and it feels like your truth, it doesn't always mean it needs to be shared. Just knowing that it's your truth could be enough. Because you have to ask yourself, is what I'm about to say going to harm or heal? That's that double edge. So, anyways, I mentioned Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde in Sagittarius, it is right now currently at 19 degrees of Mercury as of today. Now, when it does go retrograde, it is going to go retrograde at 22 degrees. And so the reason I bring that up is you want to think about themes that are arriving and that have shown up between, I will say the 7th of November, because we started this pre-shadow time. So about a week and a half ago, up until Mercury going direct, not until December. And when it goes direct, then it has a shadow period of waking up, that sort of thing. And so it will go direct on December 15th. And then we're out of shadow completely at the end of December. So we've got a good month and a half here, almost 2 months of Mercury in Sagittarius dancing around different themes in our lives, right? So for me, last week, I'm think I should I did I do think I shared this on my radio show, I mean my Celestial Wisdom video. But anyways, we're coming down the mountain. Just as we pulled into my driveway, my beloved looks at me and says, "What's that smoke coming out of your car?" And I was like, "Oh shit, I don't know." And then all of a sudden, I see fluid leaking out of my car. Yeah. And of course, I go automatically to the worst case scenario. And because it was on a Saturday as well, I don't take it to a dealership. My car's so old and out of warranty now. So, anyways, I had to get it towed on Sunday. And I get it towed. And you know what the gift was? I kept looking for all the silver lining. Now, granted, I am more of the optimistic person, right? So I keep looking for the silver lining in all of this. And I watched my beloved really step up and help out. And because I call AAA and they bring the tow truck, and the tow truck driver says, I can't drop your key off for you. You're going to have to do that at the shop." And I thought, okay, why is that? He said, "Well, because people are taking coat hangers and fishing them out of the drop boxes and things like that." And I'm like, "Really? That's what our world has come to now?" Yes, it has. Anyways, so I say to my beloved, "I need you to drive me to the shop so that I can drop the key off and bring me back home." And he did. I mean, you know, while that seems inconsequential for a lot of people, you're asking somebody to be somewhat inconvenienced. And it wasn't a big ask. Granted, I'm probably making a little more drama out of it than it needed to be. But it was just, like I said, I'm looking for all those little moments, right? And the fact that he was willing and able and stepped up, took the vehicle and dropped it off. And Monday was Veterans Day. And I was like, "Well, they probably aren't open. I don't know." But I sent them an email letting them know what was happening, yada, yada, yada. Well, that afternoon, I get a phone call and they said, "Your vehicle's ready. It was a radiator hose that busted. And you can pick it up. We just need to road test it, and you can pick it up in the morning." So Tuesday rolls around, crazy ass day schedule wise. I only had a small window of time in order to pick up my vehicle. Otherwise, I was going to be without it for another day. And sure enough, right as my break started, they called. So get Uber. I'm in this lovely Uber drive. I mean, sometimes you get some real shit shows, right? Because Uber can be a little sketchy at times. But had a lovely Uber driver and got me where I needed to go. I get to the shop, and the girl behind the counter says, "You know what's so funny? Now you guys are gonna laugh because you live in the world of intuition with me." I wasn't surprised. I was grateful, and I was so in awe just of the way that the universe continues to gift things. And so she says, "I was looking at our inventory last week, and I noticed that we didn't have this particular part, the one that I needed." And she says, "So I ordered it, and then I come into the office on Monday, and I see your email. And if we hadn't had ordered it, if I hadn't had it in stock, you would have had to wait almost a week to get your car back." Ha ha, ha ha, Now, granted, it didn't cost me any less, unfortunately. I didn't get a discount. But what I will say is I was taken care of. And she and I looked at her, I said, thank you for listening to your intuition. I'm so grateful, you know? And so I love that so much about how things work and operate in that way. So I just share that with you to say, stay with it, you know? And then that this is a theme also that may show up again over the next month and a half. We're talking about Mercury retrograde, you know, that it's very possible there, who knows? Maybe there'll be other car stuff, but it could also be a blessing, right? That maybe something magical happens where you know, hopefully I don't need a new vehicle. I don't feel I do, but that there's something along that theme of when something seems like it could go wrong, it turns out better than what I originally thought. So I'm going to keep that one in the back of my mind, you know. So, yeah. And it looks like Oliver is with me. Oliver, are you here? Maybe not. I'll see if Jay is able to get him on board. All right, we'll get there. I think he is. One moment. Stay tuned, everybody, while I am doing some multitasking. Ha ha ha.
Hello.
Oh, there he is. Hello, my darling. How are you?
You know what? I'm actually okay. The thing is that my phone always go pling pling ding pling ling ling ding. Hasn't said a word all day. I think I've gotten so used to it just because I was so convinced it was at 3 o'clock my time, right? So I'm just running around going la 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 la.
Well, I told the audience that you were probably off chasing fairy dust and rainbows.
I wish.
I know. I figured you're ride back in on a unicorn. I was just busy rambling about Mercury retrograde and
Oh, Mercury's retrograde?
not yet the 25th, but we're in shadow. So we're already starting to feel a little bit of it. And I was also talking about how people are feeling really heavy and hopeless lately, because it's just been some big stuff going on. You
I'd
know?
say. Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, but before we I keep rambling. Catch us up. How are you? What's happening in Oliver's world?
Well, are we on the air?
Yes, we are. We're live.
Oh, we are. Hi. Thank God, because I was about to say, hey, I just came back from I'm just being busy because I've sort of like changed some things around my things that I do, sort of like I put a lot of stuff out around the Sea of Valhalla.
Oh, yeah.
And those that's really fun, and I'm uploading a lot of that stuff onto my pages or on Instagram where it says Wellness Beyond Intuition. I
Love it.
load a yeah a lot of stuff that I'm posting over there, and I'm in the middle of taking some courses to first of all because get a book out there and also get some other videos out there, and there's just different ways you can do it. And I realized that I'm sitting here, even though, do you know that feeling, even though you've done it for so many years and you kind of have an idea, I just realized I don't know enough.
That's interesting.
Can
Yeah.
you believe that Oliver doesn't know a lot enough?
You know what? I don't think we're ever going to know everything anyway. So yes, there's always something to learn, right?
Yeah, no, I'm just I've been very busy to the point where I've had different home assignments and everything else that I've had to do. So I've literally been sitting up sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning because I'm actually having fun doing it.
Oh, good.
So that means that I go to bed, at 4, I sleep 4 hours, then I'm up again, and then
I love that. You know what? That's a good reminder when I was talking about how people are feeling hopeless and helpless and all that sort of thing. Of like, if nothing else, distract yourself a little bit by learning something new, you know? What is it that interests you? It could be something crazy. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, mainstream. It could be totally taboo, if you want to, just something that interests you.
You know what? You're absolutely right, because I did not know that I needed to do this. I didn't even know I was going to have fun doing it. But it took my mind off a lot of things, and apparently it took my mind off a lot of things, like being here today on time. It's been really good. I'm enjoying it. The thing, I'm still I still I'm still so because I'm telling you, my phone, I had so many messages on there, and I'm like, why hasn't said, and the volume is all the way up. I'm going, what's going on? I'm telling you, I have like 10 messages lying down. I have to look after we're done, right? Because I'm like,
Well, then
yeah, I get.
that's a perfect Mercury retrograde or shadow example. I was just saying how certain themes can, will emerge during the retrograde time, and we're already getting a taster of it. For me, it's a vehicle stuff going on. For you, it's phone. For
It's
some
phone,
people,
yeah.
for some people, it's conversations and communication. As a matter of fact, of course, the HOA would have the lawn people blowing leaves right outside my window while I'm doing the show now.
Well, I can't hear it.
Oh, thank God, because I have a hard time hearing you now, because I just want to open the window and yell, could you give me a half an
No,
hour?
actually, you must have some really good headsets there going on, because I can't hear a thing. It sounds
Oh,
like you're in a
excellent.
studio.
Excellent. Excellent. Yes, that's the intention. By the way, you know how much you and I love talking Pluto. Pluto moves into Aquarius officially tomorrow for it to
I
stay for 19
know.
years. So all
I
you Aquarians,
know.
surrender. That's all
I can tell you, if
I
it's anything like what I've been through, you're in for a ride that you do not want to. I'm telling you, that's one amusement park you do not want to go to. But hey, but one thing I can say, I am actually feeling it, and that's another thing I've been working on, because I'm actually sitting here creating an invitation for everybody. I was gonna do it only for those who have Capricorns, but I'm like, we all got Capricorn probably somewhere in our chart, right?
Yep, we do.
And we probably all felt it on some level. So I have a party for everyone's invited who has been affected by Pluto tomorrow.
Oh, fun. Guess what? Everybody should get a t-shirt that says, I survived Pluto.
Yeah, you get that one, but you have to go and pick up the graphic yourself and the t-shirt yourself.
But get this, if this is so appropriate for you, I want to use you as the example here.
Oh, use
Pluto's
me, baby. Use me, use me.
transiting. I know you like it. Pluto is transiting now your fifth house of creative expression, self-expression, children, youthfulness, the inner child, playfulness, pleasure, risk-taking. And so when you've got Pluto transiting that fifth house of yours, it is shaking up how what you're finding fun. The fact that you're doing this learning and you're improving or you're gathering information, reinventing your creative expression is so appropriate.
Yeah, well, thank you for affirming that, because that really, so why is my phone not ringing? But the funny part is that here the other day I was like, over the weekend and last week, I was like, I just wish that phone would just stop, because it got so too much, right, that I had to actually mute the phone sometimes. And I've looked this time, it's not muted. But so that was actually at the back of my mind. But see, you get what you wish for. But I mean, usually, why can't it be that easy when I'm wishing for, like $1 billion?
I know, right? That's
Yeah.
funny. See, this is the intuition. I love how connected we are. I was just using that as an example earlier on the show. I was like, okay, there's things that we can desire, but we can't control. I'd like to wake up in the morning and have $1 million in my bank account, but I have no control over that.
Yeah, but see, like the thing is, $1 million today is like making $10,000, It has to be a billion. It has to be a billion,
I love your positivity on that one. But I was thinking I'll use that as a silly example too,
Yeah, it is a
that
good example.
Tatiana and I were talking the other day about just life, and she's working through her frustrations with certain things, and I was talking about how all these entertainers are getting paid millions of dollars to play a football game for 3 hours, And I'm like, and what
Yeah.
value do they add to my life? Not much. Not really any at all, actually. And then she pointed out that Magic Johnson, or No, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Anyways, that one of the basketball players gave away. He had like all of his medals and all of that. He gave them all away. He donated the money to children who needed food and all of that sort of things. Like, what am I going to do with these trophies and medals? They don't mean anything. You know, they're just taking up space. So there's children out there that are starving. And I'm like, that's the way to do it. You know, give
I
me
mean,
that million.
I need a trophy unless that's a new delicatessen that I haven't heard of.
I don't know. Yeah, possibly. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, going back to the Pluto and Aquarius, as that happens in the next 24 hours, I think the cool thing is that, and we're already starting to see it too, like with AI and Meta and all this, but Pluto and Aquarius is all about this evolution, transformation, this tower, if you will, where all these systems are going to start breaking down in order for us to build new ones that actually work, you know?
Yeah, could you tell that to Gemini? The AI that I got on my phone. I don't like him. I don't like him. He's got such an attitude, you know. Oh, wow. Okay. Saying something. Stop saying something. He's got such an attitude. I'm telling you, I was playing around with a friend of mine. No, two friends of mine this weekend. Well, with Gemini, the AI, that was the play we were doing. We were asking questions. All he said, I'm a large language model. And I went, ooh, you're a model, are you? Have you been down on the runway in Milan? He said, even I am a artificial intelligence. I don't have any feelings. No, I know you don't have any feelings. You're like my ex-boyfriend. And he went, I don't feel anything at all. I'm a large language model. Yes, sir, you keep saying that, but where's the proof?
Exactly. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was actually funny. So those are the kind of conversations you can have with Gemini. That's Androids. That's their AI, right? And I actually uninstalled it because I thought he was literally, I mean, it's Google, right? Of course. And he says that because I said to him, you know, like your Google product, and you're like, I am and whatever. Again, but he's a, you know, assistant, your artificial assistant, you know. And I was like, oh my God, you're so Google product. And, and eventually just got so I uninstalled him. And then they said that, oh no, he's gotten so much better. He's actually gotten worse.
Well, you know what? What I find fascinating is the big question I keep getting. I mean, we talk about AI. I embrace AI. I don't see it being a terrible thing and that whatnot. But the big question most people are asking is, where are we going to fit in all this? And I'm finding more and more of my clients moving away from some of the things that can be automated or that AI can just naturally do to focusing more on the relationships. People want to work with people they like, that they have a relationship with, right? Yeah. So it's like, let's be thought partners. Let's think strategically. Let's talk about the why we're doing things versus the actual implementation. That's where AI can come in. Here, just give them a task and let them do it, you know?
No, exactly. I mean, I know a lot of people, they're afraid of AI because it has the potential to be incredibly dangerous to play around with. But I mean, we got to follow the times. We got to sort of like, I mean, as much as I'm a Capricorn and I like to stay in the past, and you know, it takes me really a long time to put one foot in front of the other. We got to sort of move forward. I usually compare AI to when electricity came out, right? In that sense, where they started to utilizing that, you know, because as they say very cleverly, you know, you can cook a meal with your electricity, right? But you can also cook a man.
That's right.
I mean, it depends on what you want to use it for, right? And hopefully AI is going to assist us in the future if there's not some crazy guys out there like Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab, and if they're not out there and decide to use it for not so good things, and which I am completely convinced of, because who would want to block out the sun? That sounds crazy to me, for instance. And but what it is that we can actually use it for good, like the creativity that I'm doing right now. You know, trust me, I still have to do the work.
Right.
I still have to do the work. It's not just going to do it by itself. I mean, it's not that, thank God it's not that intelligent yet, but I can see that people, they might be afraid that eventually it's going to take over humans completely. But you know what? So Jamie, you know, you and I, when we've been shopping at Whole Foods, you know. Do you remember when we did that one self-checkout one time, you know, and I'm about to lose my mind because no, you have to place your bag like this. And I mean, it was like so convoluted, you know. And it just and you know, and people were afraid that it was going to take away, you know, the people at the register, and there was no human anymore. I can tell you they are far from that. Because I know those machines, they're like really annoying, you know. At the end of the day, I'm standing there at the middle of the supermarket here in Toronto, you know, and it goes, "Tell us how we did today." I said, "You did horribly, okay?" So I'm not too afraid of people actually getting lost in that, and then suddenly there's nothing left. And I remember, you know, as technology evolves, you know, the new job opportunities are being created, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, there's so many other things that can take place. You know, I'll reference back the Pluto and Aquarius because we'll be talking about this for 19 years. But
I won't.
Pluto, I will. But I mean, Pluto is all about force and power, death, rebirth.
Yeah.
It's all and it's all based in the psyche, right? Because what it does is it brings external circumstances to the forefront that we may feel we have no control over and we're forced to face. AI is not going away. So
No, it's
you can
not.
ignore it as long as you want, but eventually you're gonna have to face it. So, you know, this is the thing, no matter if we're talking about AI, if we're talking about feeling out of control with our relationships, feeling out of control with our finances or our health or whatever it might be, there's certain things that we have to face, we have to deal with. And Pluto is going to be stirring that up.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I certainly have had a, as I said, and you don't, you've been there, you witnessed it. Basically, from it took over. Well, we didn't quite know each other when it first went into Capricorn, but it was right after.
Yep, right after.
And so you have pretty much been a witness to see what I to, well, you've been there, what
Yeah.
I've gone through with Pluto. But I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. It also depends, like now it lands in Aquarius, which stands for something completely different than Capricorn did. So
Right.
obviously Aquarians are going to have a different experience that Capricorns had, because
Yeah.
Capricorn stood more for power and forcing things through. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, Capricorn's.
Where Aquarius is more humanitarian and let's sit down and smoke a pipe and talk about it.
Yes, and yes, very similar. And also, Capricorn's all about structure. It's about having organization that creates structure so that we can achieve certain things in our lives and being useful. Whereas with Aquarius, it takes the structures and it says, that's great that you built this, but how did you build it? Now we get into the systems of it and the
Okay.
processes that take place. And then Aquarius is also that air sign that says, you know, once it gets an idea, like I know it. Believe me, it's very difficult to change an Aquarian mind. And
Yeah.
so, but the essence of it is about being equal, creating egalitarian, as well as for the greater good, you know, being more of benefit. So that's why I say Pluto's going to come in and look at the systems or processes that are in place that are saying, wait a minute, that doesn't work. I mean, I look at it from, let's say, the US view of our healthcare system, it's broken. Our legal system, it's broken. These are all systems that are in place that need to be blown up and redone to
Yeah.
support what is useful now.
Well, I can tell you they're broken everywhere in the Western world, where also in our countries where we have universal health care, you know, it's not all it's pumped up to be. I can tell you that. Having lived under it since I was born, you know, I've never lived in the US, which is probably the only place in the world that doesn't have that. Well, I'm sure there are other places, but we're known for their healthcare system, right? But pretty much the countries that I've lived in throughout life, my life, they've all had universal health care. And I can tell you from my experience that it is not all it's pumped up to be. That was the time in Denmark when it was very, very good. But
Right.
you see, the more that they have to spend the taxpayers' money, you know, that's the last place they're going to put money. Isn't that funny?
And that
Not
is
funny at all.
interesting.
Yeah, it's not funny at all, because eventually the system sort of collapses. I mean, we have this crazy thing in Denmark right now. If you fall and well, that was actually my sister. You know Henriette, right?
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
so my sister's friend Henriette, she was out jogging one morning, and I say good for Henriette in Denmark, 6 o'clock in the morning when it's dark, and foggy. But that's her. And there was this chain in a parking lot that she was running through that she didn't see on, like, sort of hanging around the ground, and she fell over it and she smashed her jaw completely. So it was like bleeding, and she had to go to the emergency room. But
Sure.
the new thing in Denmark is that they implemented is that you have to first go, it's called an emergency room. First, you have to call a nurse, like on some hotline, and she has to decide whether it's okay for her to go to the emergency or not, and then she can go to the emergency room. Otherwise, they'll turn her away. And that's pretty much sort of what
Wow.
happened. That's sort of what happened with my sister and Henrietta. They went to the emergency room, and they went in and said, "Yeah, I kid you not." The nurse at the front desk said, "No, you have to call us first." And there she's standing
No.
with her jaw, like basically about to fall out of her face, like
Oh
bleeding,
my
going, "Really?
God.
I have to call you first."
Wow. Okay.
But see, the problem is when they implement rules like that, because that's one of those things that I've been talking about lately, is that I see what I have noticed over the past couple of years, people's ability to critically think have, I don't know where it has gone. It has
Yeah.
literally gone out with the baby and the bathwater. But it creates these systems where, like, you got these people, they're like so, they just believe in the system that even you're standing there, and you basically have a bullet in your head. They're like, "No, you got to call us first." I'm like, "But can't you see I'm dying? I don't care if you call me from heaven, but you have to call me first because those are the rules." It just doesn't make sense. So that's sort of my sort of experience with the universal healthcare, which is very it's so funny because having lived 3 years in Mexico, and I am going back at one point, but what is really interesting is that being down there, people always say, "Well, aren't you afraid? And what about the medical system?" I had the best medical treatment in Mexico that I don't know. I had
You
no nothing to
did.
come. I
Yeah.
did. I really did. I
Yeah.
mean, they were fantastic.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I paid next to nothing.
I love that.
I had to pay for my own blood work and stuff like that, but there was this scan I had to do one day, and I went in to pay for it. There are these clinics around Mexico. There's a billionaire, whatever it is, and whoever he is in Mexico, he built this for these facilities where the Mexicans can go in and get blood work done for very little money. It's state of the art and everything else, and it's really nicely done. So I went in to get my blood work done. It turned out I didn't know that because my Spanish is not that good, that I actually I purchased a package for $30 that included, the blood work, the scan, and getting all the documents with me and everything else. And it also included a urine sample. And I did
Oh,
not know that. Yep. And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't have to pee." "Well, you bought it. It's part of the package. Go pee." I couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, I was late for my own appointment because they really insisted I had to go pee.
everything you're pointing to, this is what I mean by systems. You know, some systems are really good and they work and others don't. I mean, I'll be as minute as saying, like, our infrastructure here in Reno can't support, our road systems can't support the growth that we've had. I mean, traffic is getting ridiculous, and then they're doing all kinds of construction just to keep up with it all, you know. And that sounds like a silly example, but that's a
No,
system.
it's not. No, it's not. Because no, what you're pointing to, Jamie, what I think is that the priority where we put this, I mean, we're not poor. We
Right.
have money. But if you
Right.
have to send, I'm sorry to say, sorry, I'm using it as an example, and please don't, I'm not doing it from a political point of view. But if you can afford sending $50 billion to Ukraine so Zelensky, he could keep up with his lifestyle, right? Then you can also have enough money to take care of your own people.
Right.
I'm
Yeah.
sorry that I look at things like that, because I think that aren't isn't that the whole idea that we take care of our own house first before we take care of others?
Well, you would think so, but
Yeah.
we also, again, we know that there's a lot of systems that need to be reevaluated and redone, and that's exactly what we're going to start witnessing. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were convinced that this is all going to happen pretty fast. I don't know what is time, right? Time is so such an illusion anyway. So
Yeah.
fast, slow, doesn't matter. All I can say is this is why it's going to be super important that we continue to use our practices and we continue to do whatever works for us to be able to meet something
Yeah.
in the moment, because we're not going to stop progress. We're only going to get in the way.
Well, that's true, you know, but see, what you're pointing out right there, you know, that's what I feel that we do right now. And I think that more and more, and because this is like full circle in a way, I think more and more what we're going to see is that people are going to have to rely on our own inabilities to both be intuitive and self-sufficient and use our own healing modalities that we already really have inside of us. If it being assisted with the right kind of living, the right kind of food, and all of that, you know, we can assist our own inner healing. But I also think it's going to become this place where we are going to actually look at our own ability with our intuitive mind and connect to other things, because we're going to have to.
I agree. And I love what you're saying, because it is a perfect segue into, I also sense that all of these breakdowns of systems are going to force us back to community. That's very Aquarian, is community based, right? It's like, okay, we have spread out, we've colonized, we've raped, pillaged, and done all kinds of terrible things to cultures and things like that. Let's get back to our roots. Let's get back to what actually works for us, who we are as an indigenous human, you know?
Yeah.
And then we'll find that more and more communities come together to support one another.
I don't mind living in a community if my little cottage is about 10 miles away from the community and I can close my own door.
Well, guess what? Spoken like a true wizard, because one of the things we know about healers and intuitives and all that, you can't live in the village. You can't live in the place that you practice, or you end up getting the sickness. So you have to live outside the village. But that doesn't make you separate. That doesn't make you separate.
No.
It just means that
I will grow. I swear, I will grow all the herbs, and I will take them once a week into the village, and then I will tell them, "Don't talk to me until next Monday." Okay.
Nothing wrong with that. Oh, I can't believe it's almost time for the show to be done.
Well, that's because I'm a space cadet these days. Apparently, that must be because, you know, Pluto's leaving Capricorn, because I'm not grounded. I can feel that right now. I need to go out and get. I probably need another coffee, because I need to get my feet down on the ground again.
I hear you. Yeah, that is going to be crucial. But I just want to emphasize what you pointed out, and that is our mind, our intuition has to be training on a regular basis, because it is going to be calling to us. I mean, I can give at least 10 examples in the last 24 hours where I get a thought and it happens.
Yeah,
it's
me
like
too.
I'm getting those those validations left and right.
Yeah, so. I found my friend's remote control on the weekend. They couldn't find it. I said, it's right over there towards the right. It's lying on a table. And it did.
Yeah.
They were running around. We can't find it. It's like, come on, it's just a remote control. It's easy. Go over there.
What about the vegetable peeler? I'm still waiting for one of mine to show up.
Which one? Which one is that?
The vegetable peeler.
I'll get you one.
I know.
The one that disappeared. Yes.
But I love that. I mean, that's the other thing, is there's so much illusion that seems to be popping up, or it's like, I saw it there the other day, and you turn around, it's gone, and then another day goes by and it's there again, and you're like, I swear it wasn't there yesterday.
I swear there are elves. there are elves everywhere. Do you still have your elves from Denmark?
Yes, of course I do. And my nieces,
of course.
They're going to be out after Thanksgiving when I decorate for Christmas.
Nice.
I know.
And
anyways,
I'm going to be there in February and in January, I think. I'm going to come see if. Oh, you're going to have taken them down by then.
I would. No. Oh, well, I'll leave them up for you.
Because I'm dying to see more Christmas right there.
Well, guess what? We have to sign off this show, but you and I can keep playing another time. So.
Yeah, of course.
So everybody, thank you for joining us here on the Jamie Dawn Show. Please listen to Oliver's show Wednesday. Today is Monday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
So Wednesday, and then of course come find us at 1-2-Listen and check out all this amazing stuff that Oliver's creating online. And anything else, Oliver, I'm forgetting?
Raven and I, we're having a Thanksgiving special the next week on the 27th. That's a 2-hour radio show Thanksgiving special. And you know, when Raven is there, we're going deep into places where you come out and you feel like your brain has been taken out and you know, squished and steam washed and everything else put back in, and you're like, holy, why did I just go?
Love it. Love it. Well, thank you, Jay, for producing. Thank you, Oliver, for playing today. And thank you, everybody, for being here. Stay tuned for all the other great shows, and we'll talk to you next time.